I'd like to talk a little bit about what I've been doing with crepe myrtle aphid and some of its predators. And some of you might know the crepe myrtle aphid as Tinacalus kahalavokalani. However, its name is being changed back to Sauricalus based on some of its host plant records. Crepe myrtle aphids are relatively host-specific, feeding largely within the genus Logistriemia. Their damage is really cosmetic, in which black sooty mold grows on their honeydew. However, as far as we can observe, this isn't a long-term cost to the plant. Plants will completely defoliate, and the next year they will refoliate and bloom just as beautifully as in years before. You can see that their infestations get quite large, and this plant is completely black, and this is what a normal Appalachia looks like in the panhandle of Florida sometime in late July. It's attacked by a number of insect predators, including most of the aphid specialists, like the coccinellids and the chrysopids. And we see syrphids when they get into large populations. However, it's been explored throughout regions of Asia, and there are no parasitoids reported from this particular aphid species. This aphid species is also interesting in that all of the adults, except for the ovipari, are winged. The major types of Logistriemia that you'll see out there is you'll see Logistriemia indica, Logistriemia farii, and some hybrids. Now, Logistriemia indica is the original cultivars brought to the United States for ornamental purposes. The problem with it is it gets this powdery mildew on it. And Logistriemia farii does not get the powdery mildew, but it doesn't have all of the horticultural properties of Logistriemia indica. So they hybridized them at the National Museum in Washington, D.C., and they came up with cultivars that were resistant to powdery mildew that still retain those horticultural properties. Some of the previous research done with this system was by Mizell and Knox, and they showed that aphid susceptibility was related to this parentage of hybridization. And they showed that the hybrids were more susceptible to aphid attack than the pure Logistriemia indica cultivars. Pettis did some work with this also and showed that this was reversed in Coleoptera with Japanese beetle and the little blue beetle, Ultica, and that the hybrids were more resistant to the beetles. I did some work with this with leaf disc experiments to look at no-choice tests, and my results from that look something like this. I want to explain this graph because it goes to a lot of my data slides. These are orthogonal contrasts that I set up based on the literature that parentage, pedigree, and mature plant height are influencing susceptibility to aphid and beetle attack. And so here I have the major parentages, the pure Logistriemia indica with medium and tall cultivars within there. I also have the hybrids. And if you notice in here, the hybrids actually have 1, 2, 3, this is a separate lineage of germplasm in which they were derived from. These cuttings came from cuttings along a river in Japan, and the seedlings were part of the program at the National Arboretum. And this Basham's Party Pink is what BPP is for, and that is actually a cultivar that they found in the wild that naturally hybridized. They think that it's related to these seedlings here, but nobody is known for sure, and so we grouped them later on up in these orthogonal contrast, and there are medium and tall cultivars in each one of those. In the no-choice tests, we did see that there was significant differences between the major parentages and also within the medium and tall height class, and this is in congruence with what Mizell and Knox found in 1993. And we don't see any differences until we get to the medium and tall class within the Basham's Party Pink. My advisor, Dr. Mizell, also had some data showing that Chrysoprolo rufolabris larvae had differential survivorship depending on aphids being reared on different cultivars. And what I wanted to look at was whether the survivorship was strictly determined by parentage, plant height, or just simply cultivar itself. So we reared crepe myrtle aphids in these sleeve cages out in the field. They're very easy to rear since there's no parasitoids. We can use nice big sleeves, and all we have to do is keep out the coccinellids. We ordered some Chrysoprolo rufolabris eggs, and we held them in well plates until hatching, and the first instar larvae were put into their own little deli cup. These were placed into groups of 10, and then assigned to a plant within a cultivar. They were fed aphids from one particular plant, from one particular cultivar. We used the same 7 cultivars as I did for the leaf disc tests, and there were 4 replications. We measured the percent that made it to pupation, the percent from pupation to adult, and then the total survivorship to adult, and then we dried them down and took their dry weight as well. In order to analyze the data, we did the appropriate transformations and put them in the PROC-GLM, and we used the same contrasts as we did in the leaf disc experiments. And if you look at the survivorship to the pupal stage, there's only one difference, and this is between the 2 cultivars, Sousa and Natchez, and this is one of those medium-tall differences that seems to be appearing. If we look at the number that pupated that made it to an adult, we see that there's still that difference in Sousa and Natchez, but if you look at it, it's the reverse of what it used to be. So in total survivorship, this comparison here goes away. Now we see a difference between the cuttings in the seedlings and the Basham's Party Pink lines, and we also see these differences in Lipan and Tuscarora and other medium tall. But what's interesting is we don't see these major parentage differences like we did with aphid susceptibility. If we look at the total survivorship, we still don't see a difference in the major parentages, but we do see a difference between these cuttings that were taken along a river in Japan and seedlings that were brought back from China and Basham's Party Pink, which is supposedly related to that. And we also see this difference in Lipan and Tuscarora in this medium-tall relationship staying there as well. The interesting thing about this goes into tritrophic interactions. If we bring up the data from the aphid suitability tests that I did in the laboratory, you can see that Carolina Beauty is poorly suitable for the crepe myrtle aphid, but it's very good for Chrysoprola rufolabris to feed on and survive. And likewise, Apalache is a poor prey item for Chrysoprola rufolabris, and it happens to be a good host for crepe myrtle aphids. We don't think that this is necessarily related to nutrition, because if you look at the dry weights, we don't see the same types of patterns as we saw in the other 2 experiments. So we think that this is probably related to toxins. And basically, overall, what we see is that in 4 of the 7 cultivars that we tested, we see an inverse relationship from aphid suitability and the survivorship of Chrysoprola rufolabris. And this doesn't appear to be parentage related like it was with the aphids, but it seems to be dependent on the pedigree and the mature plant height within there. We'd like to do some future experiments by doing field testing in sleeves and releasing the larvae directly into those sleeve cages. And it would also be nice to do some suboptimal or mixed diet experiments where we can limit the number of prey items and control how much caloric intake that they have during all of this. Some of this work has already been done with other aphid species. I'd like to thank my advisory committee, Dr. Mizell, of course, and all of the other ones that you see in front of you. And at this time, I'll take any questions that you might have. Thank you.